Blog Talk Radio.
It's gonna be some stuff you're gonna see that's gonna make it hard to smile in the future. But through whatever you see, through all the rain and the pain, you gotta keep your sense of humor. You gotta be able to smile through all this bullshit.
Welcome. My name is Veronica Coney. I want to welcome everyone to the show.
It's in honor of healing. We're going to be talking about healing, so all about the process of healing and encouraging parents of deceased children. So let's get kind of into it. I wish Daphne was here. Daphne, are you on here? Daphne Jackson, are you here?
Can you hear me?
Okay. So, yes, I'm having a problem. I'm so grateful that you guys are here. Could you do me a favor? Monique and Yolanda, keep your mics open. Do not press mute. But for everyone else, could you please press mute until I learn how to mute you guys myself? But press mute. So first things first, my name is Veronica, and I want to thank Daphne Jackson for allowing me to get on her platform and have this conversation tonight. You guys, please just bear with me, okay? I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Veronica Coney, of course, and I did this platform maybe about 10 years ago. Me, Monique Singh Bay, Brother Hess, he did Pop's Movement, and that taught us so much. Actually, Pop's Movement, it put us all together in all kind of states. I would not even be here if it wasn't for Pop's Movement. Right, Monique Singh Bay? Are you there, Tiff? Are you there, Monique? Are you there? Uh-oh, we losing people. Nonetheless, I just want to welcome everybody again. And first and foremost, let's put some house rules together, right? So I'm going to ask people, as they come in and speak, please be mindful of the next person that's going to come in and speak after you. Please don't try to be long-winded, and just please be mindful to be respectful. Let's learn how to respect everybody's other different opinions about things, different religions, different beliefs. Just give them grace. Give us all grace. Let us all work together, speak together, and kind of get on one accord. Again, it's all about healing. Healing these wounds. Yolanda, are you there, my sister?
Yeah, still here.
Okay, I'm going to just ask you, we know we did this before. We did this before. We did this many, many times. And since this platform is about healing, you know, and learning how to cope, let me ask you a question, and let's jump right into it, guys. How do we, you know, kind of start to begin the healing process? When someone learned they have lost a child or even a loved one, how do we begin to have this conversation? And what needs to be said? From your standpoint, as a mother has lost a child, tell us some of the things that, matter of fact, first and foremost, can you please tell us what happened? Do you mind? Could you just kind of explain, you know, kind of what happened?
My name is Ackman. I lost my son in 2010. His name is Myrick Leandre Diggles. He was riding a bike on 84th and Ashland, and someone decides to start shooting. He was on the front of the bike. The other young man was on the back of the bike. When they heard the shots, Myrick, the boy on the front, jumped off first. Myrick jumped off second. About time he got off, he got shot in the head. Because he was about 6'4", so he was tall for his age. That, as a mother, was the worst thing that I could have went through. I'm a mother that has a disability. I lost my right leg and all my fingers on my right hand at 9 months old. Going through that, that was the worst thing that I have went through in my life. But losing my son was the worst thing that I experienced. After losing Myra, for my healing was relationship with God. Through God, I praise God. Gospel music, I talk to God. I question God. I ask to God why, because I understand that I was praying to you every day for my kids and this to happen to my son. But then the God that I serve, I know he's not going to make any mistakes, not going to do anything to hurt me or my child. So I heal from that. But I just let you know that to stay in prayer, you know, get relationship with other parents that lost their kids, because it helps each other heal. I also have a group on Facebook called Encouragement for Parents of Deceased Children, which I have had since 2012. I have over 2,000 members, and I go on here every day. I encourage these people, and I put posts on there. I put encouragement stuff on there. I let them speak and express themselves. So the group is helping. If there's anyone on there that need encouraging or need healing, come on there. We're glad to help you and get through. This is a hard process. This is a one day at a time thing. also. Thank Veronica, because when I first lost my son, he was running this platform at the time. I was nervous. I was scared. I didn't never know how to express myself, telling about my situation. But as I kept going on there, I got stronger and stronger. So she's also helped me through my healing process as well. So I do want to thank her.
Yeah. You know what? I'm so glad you mentioned the group, because I feel like that's a part of the process of healing. Also, I learned a lot from that that Platform Pops movement we first started from, and how that platform and that whole community, it kind of strengthened and built people up. And I see that you have the platform that encouragement for deceased children, encouragement for parents with deceased children, right? So that encouragement, and you said the group has grown to 2,000 members?
Yep, I have over 2,100.
And just encouraging them every day. How does that make you feel? Like, what does that do for you?
It also have helped me heal. Helping them heal is helping me too, because sometimes I have bad days and my days are not as good either. So sometimes they say things that also help me heal as well.
Yeah, I also want to take the journey back to 2013. I remember I had a very, very dear close friend of mine. She lost her daughter to gun violence. And you know, Natasha, I'm not sure if she's going to be here today, but going through that process with her, I learned, like, wow, like, I didn't know what to say sometimes. And I want to kind of touch on that, too, because sometimes, you know, we get scared, too, as people are looking outside. We looking inside, but we don't even know what to say, what to think, how to say it, how to feel. We just don't know. Can you shed light on what could we, the people on the outside, you know, kind of encourage, or what things do we say to someone who is going through something like this?
Well, for me, I learned that and you probably can do is let that person know that you're praying for them and encouraging them. Really not a lot that you can say, because you don't want to say the wrong one word can set that person off and just have them really grieving. So you kind of have to watch what you
Wow. I heard that too before. Going through the process with my good friend, I learned just by observation, it was triggers that, you know, it was really triggers there that would kind of put them in a different spot. And you literally walking on eggshells, don't know what to say. And also, I forgot to mention that, you guys, we're going so fast because we had technical difficulties. It's a man on here, our special guest, later in the show is going to kind of talk to us about and educate us on how things are happening, what's going on, and how we can kind of like bring our community together and strengthen each other so we don't have to have, you know, our children dying in the streets. I hope you guys, I hope he's here. I think his name is Derek Porter Bay. He'll be coming on and he'll be kind of like, you know, just stressing out the importance of coming together and unifying with love. And I just totally remember the coming on this platform and just pouring this loving on each other. And we built a community around each other. And that's the only reason why I know you personally align. I know Monique Seen Bay, and Monique is another person. I'm going to let, if she is available to speak, and I really don't want her, so I just want her to kind of sit back and kind of just listen. She lost her son last month. She said, I don't know if it's, you know, I know it's heavy for you, and I don't want to say the wrong thing. I don't want to make, you know, go into a dark place like Yolanda just said. So, kind of sit back and listen. Is that okay? And if you feel strong enough to speak, then you can speak. Go ahead, your mic is on.
Are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can definitely hear you.
Oh,
and it's very delicate. You know, I can hear you. Everyone can hear you.
To y'all, I do want to speak a little bit. First, I want to definitely thank the sister Daphne Jackson, as well as you, Veronica. And sister, it is so wonderful to be in tune with you again, and to know that I'm not the only one experiencing this. I have no answers, not a clue, as to what happened to my son. I do have legends of the two people who killed my child. He took 6 bullets, and the story is he's walking through the store and got into an altercation down in Kansas City, Missouri. And it got heated enough for the people to shoot. And I'm not there. I will do my research after we lay him to rest. I'm not even certain that I'm going to be able to make it down there. But I'm just very confused a little bit. Like, everyone has to pass one, but my thought was that I would pass before my children. It is very, very, very traumatic. It is very, the family is not united at all. I don't understand a lot of things, but I'll tell you what, death certainly shows you who people really are. I'm hoping that this, well, this has definitely taught me something and still teaching me something. I haven't grieved. I'm afraid to grieve because of, I don't know, lack of support. And then the way that I was taught in my belief system, you know, it's like we can't grieve. Or we're not supposed to grieve, or it's not okay to grieve. But truly, I don't care how spiritual you are, you're going to grieve the loss of a child. I feel like I can't breathe. I'm breathing, but I'm breathing different, you know, because I haven't got to see him yet, you know. I don't know. I'm just very grateful for you guys. I'm grateful that we're building on many things. There is a responsibility on my part, you know, not being prepared. Proper preparation to this for performance, and right now my performance is not very well. Like, nothing saved up for a rainy day. You know, this is a very rainy day. It's storming. You know, I feel like I'm a beggar, you know. And guess what? Nobody really freaking cares, for real. Nobody cares. Nobody. But I do. You know, I'm not having very great thoughts. You know, I do have reflections of the two killers and their names. One great thing that has happened since Daryl's passing is that the father, Daryl, is talking to, and my daughter are talking a lot more, and I've been in tune with the grandchildren who are grown. So life is not promised. Life is short. And to speak to Leslie, I just want y'all to know, as Veronica, I love you, sister. But, I mean, my life is never going to be the same again, you know? So I'm coming in love, and I yield to you now. I don't know what to say. I don't know. So, oh, and Sister Danette Tavares has given me, you know, watching her throughout the years. And the wonderful work that she has done, as well as Sister Lisa, Richie Richards' mother, Lisa Simpson. But the only difference is my child was not murdered by the police. It wasn't police terrorism. It was the Mexican man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I love y'all.
Peace and love. Peace and love says, we love you too. We definitely have us in, have you in our heart. As we remember, this is where we started from. We really started from this. We started on a platform that was meant to encourage and build people up, especially mothers that have lost children for violence or anything that, as a matter of fact, is going to impact a mother or father's life. And I just want to say this, interesting enough, when we're talking about this subject, that today I learned that I have a half-sister, half-brother, and I learned that My sister's mother passed this morning. As a matter of fact, I think it was midnight at 12. She made her transition. And I remember my sister told me it was like a ton of bricks just hit me. And I was like, oh, my God. Losing a mother, I know losing a child is huge. Losing a mother is huge, too. Losing anyone that you love dearly is a big deal. And I just was like, you know, my heart just sunk because I was like, oh, my God, my sister lost her mom, something that she can't get back. And we typically go in that order. However, just the pain that I know is in her heart, and it hurt my heart so bad. And now we're on this platform. I'm kind of feeling that I'm feeling the same thing that, you know, a mother that would feel losing a child, or anyone would feel that losing someone close to them, especially a parent. Losing a parent, losing a child, I'm just like, oh, my God. It's a whole another world. It's like you work into a world. And it's a mindset of what you have, what you're going through. Just thinking about what my sister is going through right now. I know she the hug, she love. All I can say is, what do you want me to do? What can I do? What can I do? Because I don't know what to say. What can I do? You know, Yolanda, please help me. You know, just help me on the subject, right? Because I know you are one of the strongest women.
I know.
What's
your question?
I said, help me understand, like, what do I say to my sister? I know it's not a child. She lost her mom. And I was stuck for a minute. I didn't know what to say. All I could say was, what can I do? Like, what kind of action can I take that can help you? Like, what can I do? Because at this point, there's no words that I can say.
You can, it's kind of hard. You can give a card, you can send little hearts or little thinking about you, or I'm praying for you. That's what I do mostly, little things like that. I try not to say a lot because you don't know what state or where that person is in their grief. So you have to kind of, you just have to kind of be patient and watch what you say and what you do around people. And a lot of people don't understand that there's a lot of family members and a lot of people hurt people when they are grieving. People have done things, and you're like, why are they doing this? And I know I'm going through this, but everybody don't understand and feel what you are feeling. You know?
Yeah.
It's something we're going to go through the rest of your life. You're going to grieve the rest of your life.
It's like
everybody grieves different.
Or mourn, you know, my family is treating me like his fiance has, you know, and I loved her. I thought that we were close, but she has not included me on anything, and she has power of attorney, because when he was in the ICU, they did try to contact me, and then his son could not make the decisions that needed to be made. And the father, bless his heart, he is in treatment, which is a good thing. And also, y'all, they gave the two people that killed him a bond. Like, they were out on bond the same freaking day that, you know, they arrested them, from what my grandson was telling me. And y'all know, if that would have been the so-called black people, we'd be up under the damn jail somewhere. So... And I'm very angry. I'm so angry. I'm very angry.
Yeah, you're going to have all kind of mixed emotions, girl, all kind of things going to go on. Just stay in prayer, even for the people that not doing right with you or not saying, you know, saying things that are not right. You just keep praying, because God hears everything that you're saying. He knows what you're going through. And he's going to heal you in his time. It takes one day at a time. It's not something that it took me almost 7 to 8 years to get free where I wasn't grieving like I was. That's how long it took me. And people didn't understand that. You still grieving? Oh, yeah, I'm grieving. I'm going to grieve the rest of my life. You know?
But that is one of the parts that no one really understands. It's a process your whole entire life. So it's not just easy to just say, you cut this off right here. Cut this out. You grieve too long, you know. And that's something you definitely want to say to somebody that has lost a child or any type of family member that they love. And I definitely
You can have things to trigger your grief. You could be walking in the store and see a young man or someone that looks like just like your child, and it just hits you from there. It just hits you when you ain't even thinking about it. I used to be going to work and just sit in the car instead of going to work, and all of a sudden I boo-hoo and crying. I'm like, I can't go in here like this, so I would have to sit there until I got myself together. Once I got myself together, then I would go, you know, do what I had to do. But it'll catch you when you least expect it.
So, this is just so, I think it's so powerful. I think the powerful point is to having a conversation about it, because it's a very, very, very delicate conversation that don't nobody want to have. We run from this type of stuff. But what I have understood and learned through the years, Yolanda, even with you and our interactions, is having this conversation brings a lot of healing. It brings strength. It brings empowerment. And, you know, it gives you the right to just want to move on. And I don't mean like move on by just leaving something behind, but just the real power to get up and, you know, do things you need to do for your daily living. Go to work, get you something to eat, you know, go shopping, still go to church, have a good time, put a smile on your face. I mean, just things that just keep you just moving in a forward direction. That's what I'm learning through talking to people that have lost children. I know so many, and I want to talk about this. I want to talk about childhood trauma, right? I don't know if anybody else knows, but I have lived in the element where it was guns, drugs, violence, any type of thing you want to imagine we had in our neighborhood. And it was, you know, our young brothers and sisters would get killed. And that's something we never, ever, ever dealt with. The trauma of losing a friend. We in fifth grade, and my friend got shot and they died. We never healed from that. And I think that's another dynamic that that brings on triggers as well. It comes into our adulthood. I have so many friends I have remembered through the past, and I trigger to, like, oh, my God. I remember something, a smell to come up, and I remember them. And then I get angry, and then I start ruminating on the things that happened back then. And then my mind is just in a different, whole different space. Now I want to fight. You know, it's just interesting and how our communities are. And brother, do we have a brother? Brother Derek, he's here. And I want him, if he can, to chime in and kind of help us understand the dynamics in our community to keep perpetuating these senseless murders and this carelessness with this hopelessness. Brother Derek, are you here? Is it a good time for you to come in and kind of shed light on this?
Of course, I can come in and share.
Please, because I think it's a good time right here.
Okay. First of all, how's everyone?
I'm not okay. This is a very hard, hard conversation. Just hearing the pain in my sister's heart brings me pain. Mm-hmm. My sister lost her mom. That's painful. So we're kind of like, you know, moving forward. Well, at least I am.
Right. Yes, I've you know, experiences what the young lady was speaking on firsthand with my brother and friends as well. I mean, it's, you know, and getting cool with a lot of my friends' family, you know, and their mother, you know, accepting me as one of their children, you know, from the, you know, when you express and conduct yourself in a manner, you know, families will take you in and embrace you as their own. And when they go through pain, you know, you tend to, you know, feel that same pain because you are close now. So, you know, I lost a brother who got murdered, you know, by a brother over nonsense, you know, and we had choices to do the same, but through my lessons, you know, it taught me to think before I react. So, you know, seeing the pain on his mother's face, also my mother's face, you know, it changed my perspective and doing harm because I can see the pain on the guy who done the situation, mother's face as well. You know, I couldn't be selfish and just look at my mother and his mother. I had to think about his mom, you know. So as I grew up, it started having me to understand my role as a male on this plane. And what I wanted to do is educate my people on what we are up against and why we are going through what we are going through. And a lot of us are not getting any answers and carrying on. And all we getting is people that want to make money off us, not giving us true answers to where we can actually build on it to become a lot stronger within on situations like this. So, you know, I went to learning some things, and it's in hearing, you know, family members speak on, you know, loved ones passing away. Like, for instance, my aunt, you know, when she actually passed and they actually was able to bring her back, she shared a story with my mom that she saw my aunt, my grandmother, and, you know, my other aunts. And my older aunt was particularly telling her to let it go, you know, wouldn't stop messing with her about letting it go. So when you pick on little clues of people who are actually in one foot in and one foot out, you get to understand what life really is. You know, and it brings back, you know, it brings back a lot of old things that you witnessed growing up when you start learning things. You know, it seemed like it's weird. It takes you to lose someone to actually focus on what's serious. You really don't know what's important until you really lose something. I'm not talking about material. I'm talking about a life. Mm-hmm. When you lose something that's irreplaceable, that's when the lights snap on that reality is actually here. You know, that things that we didn't see, we pay more attention to now. You know, you get benefits out of trauma. You know, you get to see things you never saw. Your movement is a lot different than before. You know, your thinking is a lot different than before. You know, your love sensor goes up tremendously. It's not the anger. Anger is there, but the love you have for not just your child, your love become having for other people's children. You know, so my thing is when I see women that don't have men in their life and their children is out of hand, I do what the book say, try to be a father to the fatherless. You know, I would try to talk to the child, you know, and try to be there to let them know there's someone in life that's there that see them, that know them, and that love them. Don't have to be dad. Just know someone that love you. You know, when people don't have that, they go off and do crazy things in life. You know, you planting a seed to let that child know that someone do love them. So you changing their course of action in life, you know, if they're not getting the type of attention that they want, they know someone see them and love them. So that's something a child can reflect on to start going forward in life and doing better things. So that's the thing that I've done, you know, and constantly, you know, people are sending around me, like, for instance, you know, I got a phone call twice this week on my mother, you know, and I've been up since 3:33 this a.m. I haven't slept. You know, I've been thinking about her, what's going on with her, and it started me thinking about other things as well. Like months ago that I got a phone call at 12 midnight that a lady I used to date had died of a massive heart attack. And like maybe 3-4 hours after that, I goes to work and getting ready to perform inventory. The guy that was helping me with inventory, he actually died in the coat room. And I'm finding myself resuscitating him while my phone is dialing 911. And now, to be honest with you, I had no counseling, you understand, through all this stuff that I experienced. I had no counseling. You understand? I had no counseling as a man. You understand? As a man, a lot of things is very hard in the world when I say beat up on you, which is with anyone. But to go through all of what I went through and had no counseling, you know, and I really thank the Most High from actually giving me the right lessons and how to get over this without anyone assisting me. You understand? And the book was always telling me that all of these things has been established in me. I just have to recognize it. So when I started recognizing it at a young age, it just strengthened me as I gotten older to reach out and help more of my people, because my people was in dire need of the truth, because the truth is the leading point of their healing. Because we have to know what's going on with us as a people And this is systematically set up for us to suffer through this trauma without even no counseling.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that's truly set up for us to just deal with. No one to rely on. No one can give us answers. You know, so we have to, I love what the young lady done, the first caller. I love exactly what she done. That's what, you know, I was looking for. You know, she wanted to share, and what she shared actually grew, you know, so it's a unity of love, you know, when you get others to cling on and all of us going through it, showing us that we are traumatized as a people. We lost so much, you know, and it can pile up on you and drive one mad, you understand? And but through all the rain and the pain, we got to keep our head up, and we got to make sure what happened to our child or family member don't happen to someone else. So that's my healing, is to help others, because you got to be more of a giver in life. You understand? And just understand and overstand that, you know, death is promise. It didn't have a certain age. The promise didn't come with a number. You understand? And just when you understand that, you know, it's hard to accept it. We can be that. That's just the flesh part of us. But the spiritual part of us will let us know that it is a promise, but we didn't know. So we have to take each day, you know, not for granted. We have to make each day count and just go from there and just lead with love, because love is the key to it all. And I deal with that one.
Yes, it is. And I truly love your energy, Mr. Porter Bay. Am I saying that right? Or do I say Derek?
Yes, ma'am.
Please
don't. Yes, ma'am. You said it correct.
Okay. So I love what you said of building a community, and all these things are piled upon us. It seemed like you said, I think we had a conversation, that these things are heaped upon us strategically to keep us in a position of trauma, and trauma brings that pain. That pain brings anger, and anger, of course, brings retaliation. So could you please explain to us, Derek, what are the sources, the roots to these problems? Where do they come from?
Well, the roots to the problem started by lying to us. Mm-hmm. So when you go to Isaiah 29 in the Bible, Isaiah 29 is a contract, and it gives you a blueprint what is going to be done to us. Isaiah 29 said, I will do a marvelous work amongst these people. Who is that saying that they would do a marvelous work amongst us? It's someone that look like us, that's not us, who is here on this land masquerading as us and using the pale skin as a face of destruction and oppression, when they are part of the game of genocide.
That's deep. Wait a minute, brother Derek. That's deep. Now I don't know we can follow that deep. You just blew my mind with that. Literally blew my mind.
No, it's not deep. It's very simple, because it's on the same grounds of what the Bible is speaking on. It's what I'm getting straight out the Bible, because it's in there. You know, Pastor Porkchop haven't taught our people that, because if he taught us that, we can get over the trauma together as a unit. And by him not doing that, it keeping us in this individual state to where we have no hope as a people, as an individual. So that's why the brother man Jesus was saying, together we can do greater things than he. So when you get this guy that's in Isaiah 29 said he would do a marvelous work amongst these people. So let's break it down. So when our people can think more of themselves instead of less of themselves, so we can move forward on this situation that we are up against. Okay, when we was tricked to think that we are not gods, we just this regular old humans. So source sent a part of herself here to save herself, which is us. So when you get Yeshua to come and it was asked a question, and he answered, isn't it written in your law that ye are God? that start making me think and start putting the dots together. That person in Isaiah 29 said he would do a marvelous work amongst these people. So that right there indicated that we was miseducated on purpose for someone else's gain.
Wow.
On
wow.
who you are as a people. That takes out your identity. So when you that takes out your identity, it forms an identity crisis. When it forms an identity crisis, then you lose sense of self. And when
wow.
you lose sense of self, in Isaiah 29, it also states, I know your world is backwards.
Isaiah 29.
So,
well, give us a scripture. We can give us a scripture. Now, you can't just throw this on us and not give us a scripture. Give us the whole scripture.
It gets, it explains, this is all systematically done to shut the sister down. Using the brother, moving the brother out of the way to get to the sister, because this is a game of chess. This life that we are playing in this plane, in the abode of the dead, this is a chess game. And the person who promised to do a marvelous work amongst us is basically a dark-skinned conquistador who came here to conquer us, because our people got away from the fundamentals or lessons to that can get us out what we are dealing with. And the thing is, when you get someone that come here and look like you and finesse you, it actually takes a toll on you when you least expect it. Because when you don't really, when, like, for instance, let's say this here. I want to get too off topic. When Hosea said, my people will perish for the lack of knowledge. So the lack of knowledge of what's going on is actually why we are suffering out here as a people. So Isaiah 29 and 14, I would just read it to give you guys some understanding on what is going on amongst us as a people and why we are suffering as a people through trauma, through family members being taken away with no answers. So therefore, I will proceed to do a marvelous work amongst this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For wisdom of the their wise men shall perish. Okay, there go Hosea 4 and 6. My people will perish, therefore, for the lack of knowledge. He saw what was going on with his people to write this statement. So, excuse me. Perish and the understanding.
Okay.
So when mothers lose their children, they try to get understanding out of it. That's what bring on the grieving. You trying to get understanding. Now, the understanding in verse 14 is telling you someone came here to your land to slaughter your children. So they won't be able to claim their inheritance on this land generations and generations to come. So these same people that done a marvelous work, they set up the police department, they set up these schools using the pale skins in front, like they actually doing it. They just the puppets doing it. And they're set up centers like Planned Parent. They set up tons of centers for sisters for housing to keep the man away. That adds to the woman trauma. That adds to the mourning and the grieving when the male is not around and something happens, because a mother get more closer to her child when a male is not around. It's just nature.
Mm-hmm.
The system has put her in a box.
Okay.
My thing is not just when mother lose a son and she get women abroad, she need to involve her brothers as well. That's
okay.
What's missing, the balance, because the brothers are the healing. That's the home, the family unit. This is a family code I'm speaking on. We've gotten away from the family code. And this healing would be a lot quicker having the males there, because the males were be more active in the community to make sure these things won't happen.
Okay, thank you. Right there. Let's
go ahead.
Derek, can we just pause right there, what you said? Since the conversation is about healing, now let me ask, and this is, you know, I'm just talking out my heart. I'm not going to go in order. When we talk about healing, the brothers are not there. How do we bring our brothers back? I mean, with the condition our brothers are in, us women and mothers have been holding it down for a very long time. We are tired. So how do we bring our brothers back home?
Love, because brothers feel like sisters are not loving them and not listening to them. Sisters don't listen to brothers too good.
Okay.
The connection is not there when it comes down to listening.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Why we have no chemistry.
Okay. So do we... This might be taking a turn a whole other direction, and I don't know why it's going this way. But we striving to heal our communities. Now, when our love is starting to be abused, how do we recover from that? Because it seems like, and I could be wrong, but for me personally, by overextending myself again and again and again and again and again, showing unconditional love, and that love being, you know, it abuses me sometimes. And now I'm beat up. I'm tired. I done worked all day. I done tried everything I could. I done did everything. I'm still raising the kids. How do I still stand and love him and bring him back?
You can bring him back by just letting your heart lead your life, not your mind. The system has twisted your mind in a way to where you just look over your heart.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is show your heart to your brother. Your brother will listen to you. We are waiting. We are waking and waiting on our sister. We are ready, just like I'm ready. I know exactly what you guys are going through. I dedicate my life to make sure you guys are okay. And things that is finna come back. We got healing centers that's being built right now for all of this that's going on and what people are suffering. It's just that our people don't know these things are transpiring as we talk in real time.
Okay.
Things are set up. We, trust me, when they say heaven on this plane, we finna have heaven on this plane. And when I put the television down and start reading the books, when they say you want to hire something from a so-called black man, open the books. I open the books. And these books healed me because it gave me the truth. Mm-hmm. Truth is the healer. Because Jesus said when you discover the truth, you'll be troubled.
Mm-hmm.
And it troubled me because I seen the pain my family was in. And I know why my family was in that pain. It's a root cause to everything. So when I start reading, it start leading me why. These same people I spoke about earlier is the ones that's causing our pain. When you know who is causing your pain, things will change. And that's what it done for me. It changed me from being an angry guy, losing my brother, losing friends in that manner, losing female friends in that same murderous manner. And it hurts. It really hurts. I had a female friend that was real close to me. I mean, we was tight, man. And she got murdered out of jealousy. And it broke my heart. A closed casket.
Wow.
It broke my heart. Like, it really broke my heart. And it just showed me that it's bigger than what it is. And it's bigger than me. So I got to make sure that I learn something. That way I can share, you know, to move on, because it takes a lot of patience and research to find out what's going on, why things are going the way it's going, you know, because you have to do things with a clear heart and a clear mind in order to move on in life, you know, because I've learned to move the E in front of the emotion and just go with motion.
Oh, wow.
In life, because your emotions can stop you from moving on in life, and that your emotions become your ego. So you're dealing with the cloud of ethers. You're not properly thinking on how you can build out of the situation. And as a mother, you have other children to deal with, so you have no choice but to level up.
Yeah, that's true.
Because their love is demanding you to level up.
It is. And then, when you just said that their love is demanding you to level up, I just think about what you said, just loving on a brother, and that love will demand them to level up. And that's the hard love. I'm looking at love a little bit different now. You know, I was studying love earlier, and I was thinking about how love, like two different loves, when it's exchangeable in the same degree, it's clarity and it's understanding, and it's seeing what the other person needs or what they desire, and you'll meet that need or desire, and vice versa. Now, the world tells us love is like a, you know what they say, it's an action word, right? But you got to do this, you got to do that. But then for me, I'm looking at love a little different. I'm like, wait a minute. If I just ask you, what do you want out of me? What do you want from me? What can I do from you? What is it that you need? You know, and we got this communication, and I understand you, and you understand me. That's love. The other stuff that the world claims is love, I'm going to think of love like, wait a minute, that's the opposite. I don't think that's fair. Create a stable situation. As a matter of fact, that's lopsided. Are you telling me the love is conditional? I don't love you. I'm looking at love a whole other way. Yolanda, are you still with us, honey?
Yes, I'm still
Yolanda,
here.
Okay. I was listening. I thought about you when he said, you know, doing things out of love. And you created the, what is that, the encouragement for deceased, the encouragement for parents of deceased children, right? Did I say that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. You create that group out of love. Am I correct?
Yes, ma'am.
To give back
love
what
for
was
other
really,
people.
You need it, right?
And can I chime in, sister? Trust me. I feel your pain, and you're not alone. I love your child just as much as you love your child because I know who we are. You understand?
You.
I know exactly who we are. And it tells you in Isaiah 29, I know the blood of the saints and the prophets is on the land. Like you stated, it's no strange happenings. These people set up for us to take out ourselves and children that's innocent. I know little friends that got, my little cousin got shot in the head by a drive-by shooting. And these things play in my head over and over because I'm attached to a lot of my family members. We really close. The children, I spend time with them because I know what's going on. And we have to teach the young brothers so that love and that understanding as they get older, because it tells you in Proverbs 31, when King Oliniel gave his mother gave him a prophecy while he was in the womb, not to give the strength to the woman or teach her the way to destroy a king. So that being said, teach your children, which is your sons, not to spoil women with material, because all they're doing is playing a role in building her up, and that's what she's going to be looking for different kings in her life, and she's not aware that she's going to be destroying them and basing them on material when she should be basing them on their heart. And that's a virtuous woman, because her man would know he can lie down without her performing any type of evil against him. Keep her at her pure state. Keep her at her pure state as much as possible. Because when she give bear fruit with children, they come out with that same love.
That's so important. Yolanda, I really appreciate everything that you do. You bring so much strength to our community. How can we, like, Brother Derek, I know you always talk about, you know, expanding how we connect and, you know, do what she's doing to reconnect our community and heal our community. How do we reach out and expand on what she's doing?
She can invite brothers, get the people that's on there and invite more brothers. We can do this as a community, not just as sisters, where we can do it as a community, and that will grow. All we got to do is plant the seed.
I thought about what you said, and I'm like, dang, she been doing this alone. And I strive to do some things, but, you know, of course, everybody living in their lives, like, we going, like, 50 going up every day. We running here, running there. It's almost impossible to slow down and really think of what's important. And what she's doing is so important.
It
so
is.
I'm thinking of a master plan right now.
Well, yes, you started the master plan. You invited me on. That's a domino effect. Because when I say brothers, sisters, what I mean by listening, see how women share their feelings and emotions. Brothers have that too. We can't share. We looked upon as punks. Sisters got to change their view on brothers, because the only way the sisters can heal, the brothers got to heal. Because we are your protectors. If your protector can't heal you, it's going to take your grieving a lot longer. Because Michael Jackson told you, you are not alone. And that's what the creator tells you. Your brother was created as your protector, not to destroy someone, but be there as a healing mechanism as well. That's where your balance come in at. We unbalance as a people. So we get more brothers involved, because I used to be on female platforms a lot, and they always tell me we need more brothers like you to come on and support the sisters. And that's what I'm explaining to you guys, that brothers are not involved more than they should. Because I look at other ethnics, their men be involved with their women. You know what I'm saying? They do it as a unit. So I'm seeing what we're lacking. We got to bring unity to self. You understand? Bring unity as a family, so we can get over this together as a family. That's how we can heal. We healing too much as individuals. And like Sister Monique said, the family, you know, showing no unity through, you know, a family member ascending on, you know, and that she's right. It's no unity in the family. You know, like my mother. My mother is, her life is being threatened. You know, she have a heart condition due to her respiratory situation, and she got sisters and brothers just putting daggers in her back. And my nephew just figured it out this morning how the family actually was, and he's like, and my sister got to sit there and counsel him, because he's like confused. And see, he's a young man, so me teaching her lessons, my sister, she's sharing it with her son to keep him balanced and not having him to grow up with hate. And right. carrying on in his life, just having understanding. So that's how we can stop that, is bringing unity to self, you know, in the family, and just involving your brothers more. And brothers can give you, you know, come in and share some things, and they'll be more protective of your children. Because today it's kind of hard. You know, back in the day, you can see a child doing something and you will step in for their mother and father that's not around to see, and you will say something to a child. We don't have that anymore. We really don't have that anymore. Because I know when I screwed up, I got whooped by the neighbor. Neighbor told the grandparents, they got me. Mom got home, got a third whip. We don't have that no more, because the brother and the sister's not communicating.
That is really one of the number one key factors that's really plaguing our community, to cause all this destructive behavior. And I feel, this is just my feeling, that, like you said, we do need our men. We need our brothers. We need our fathers. We need every strong pillar that we have to be on board to kind of, like, I can't stand to see another mother or father go through this. I am a survivor of gun violence. And for me, the trauma, the pain, the frustration, the system at large, to learn what's really been happening to us, I mean, it really put a fire under your behind to make a difference. I mean, it really do. And I crave for the brothers to get on board. This platform that we started with Pop's movie, it started from a brother. And that brother, I wish he was here today, Brother Hess. I mean, I'd like to give it up for Brother Hess. Brother Hess, he knew how to bring a community together and just form a bond. I forget the six steps of peace. I know 16, they know it, but I won't call on her, because right now she should just, you know, we should just cover her and protect her right now. And that's pretty much where this conversation came from. I was like, you know what, we need to protect you. We need to support you. We need somebody to lean on right now. But that brother, oh, my God, I think I'm going ahead of myself. But, Derek, do you know I'm in Chicago. We had a brother, Mike X. He was in New York. Another sister in New York. Monique was in Kansas City, Kansas. You in Texas. This man brought all of us together. Me being introduced to Yolanda White, Yolanda Blackman, my God. It just brought so much healing to us to know that there's people out here that really serves our best interest. Even when our family members is like not the people that we want them to be, they might be a different state of mind. We have brothers and sisters that really, really, truly care. Monique, I really mm-hmm. care for her. I really care for my sister Yolanda. Sister Daphne, who actually loaned me her platform today. And that's another thing I want to kind of bring up. She has Straight Up Talk Radio with Free 'Em All Radio Show. It's Fred Hampton Jr., I'm sorry. He has a show every Wednesday, and they bring light to the political process and what's happening political. And anybody, I truly encourage people to get on that platform and just listen in. Because you will find so much what's going on in the political system that you are not aware of what's going on behind closed doors.
So I can share that. I can share that. That's mm-hmm. easy to share. Because mm-hmm. all the murders in the cities are strategically set up for organ harvesting.
Oh, mm-hmm.
The drive-by shootings, that's not for nothing. Organ harvesting.
Mm-hmm.
In Chicago, in Chicago, you had Caucasian men dressing up in skin suits that look identical to mm-hmm. so-called black people, and they won't recognize mm-hmm. it, and did drive-by shootings and walked in corner stores and just started shooting. You thought it was gangs. It was CIA members dressed in skin
mm-hmm.
suits that looked like so-called black people.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? I honestly, you know, I have to take that into consideration. I really do, because I've heard that a couple more places was really, you know, I am not with the system at all. I am not going along with the program at all. I know it's something underneath the surface that's going on that causes all this this anger, this pain, and this frustration. And as long as we're in a land of hopelessness, we will have no strength to fight back. So I definitely got an ear for that. I definitely 100% understand that conversation. I know it's probably sound impossible, because how can somebody do something like that? But we have to wonder, and I might be sounding a little funny right now. It's interesting how so many people get murdered in our city, and there's cameras everywhere, but
no one gets caught.
That amazes me.
Nope. Ask yourself. Now I'm finna turn up a little, just a little bit. Ask yourself, the most murderous cities, why is the females or mayors in these cities? Sisters.
I'm sorry.
Sisters, the cities that got high crime, their mayor is sisters.
Their mayors are sisters?
Yes. Baltimore, mayor, sister.
Oh.
New Orleans mayor, sister. Chicago mayor was a sister.
Was a sister. It's a man now. He's
Yes. The man got her out of there because the sister got exposed politically.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, again, like, Straight Up Talk Radio, they do a good job of exposing the contradictions in the political system. So I just wanted to send a shout-out and talk about that, because that's something that another component to our pain that we are really not aware of. Of that thing right there. So,
yeah, because that's a component of the pain. They putting sisters over these cities that slaughtering your brothers and sisters. When you looking at them, okay, we put you in office, why are you not doing nothing about it? Because once they get in that position, they know the laws for so-called black people are different from other ethnic groups. I found that out from a sister named McKinney. She was a senator for Georgia. And she moved to China because she found out the system was set up to kill our people off.
Okay.
And what we experienced with the drive-by shootings, all of that is in the plan. And that's what our people have to start opening the books and start paying more attention, because it is set up for the brother and the sisters to separate. You don't see no program set up for Caucasian people to be set apart or in Asians or Indians. It's something with us.
Think of that. That's something that,
we have that, to look at this, because we got so much distraction going on. Things are our family members are being taken away in life.
Mm-hmm. That's the pain that we're dealing with, so we can't see the bigger picture. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Exactly. We're so bogged down with pain every day. We wallowing in pain every day. We can't see beyond
our pain. I didn't mean to cut your water.
See how what I mean by how the sister made you go through that and made you individuals? Soon as that sister put that up there on Facebook, look how many people she got just immediately. Immediately. Mm-hmm. That go to show you right there how the system is set up for us. That many women, like Mike Brown and the other two, all this strategically happened on purpose. The brothers and sisters who got shot with their hands up, strategically purposed. Because we are at war. We are not from Africa. We are from here. They tricked us on everything. It tells you in Isaiah 29, I would take counsel up against the Lord. I would kill off the understanding. The science of prudence, meaning self-control. That's what the sister is grieving for. Someone was not performing control and killed her child. Those sciences has been left out of our community on purpose by these same more Zionist Jews who set up the lodges, the Masonic lodges, to make plans on us. New Orleans is one of the main homes of Masonry. That, they show you that in Mardi Gras, they was murder capital world. Got a sister out there as a mayor who tricked the people to get vaccinated just to party and have fun.
Hey, Derek, we in kindergarten. We have not even went to fifth grade yet, so a lot of it's kind of over our head.
But no, it's very simple. It's just telling you who is your problem, your own people. You got to know the face of what's causing you issues so you can move on, because the same ones you can talk to about your grieving could be the same very one that's causing it.
I understand. I totally 100% understand that. Whew, that's a lot. That's, Brother Derek, that is a lot to even process right now. As we're talking about pain, and that's even painful
no justice.
To even comprehend.
No justice, no peace. That's bringing you justice so you can grieve in peace.
That does make sense there, Mr. Reporter Babe. That does make perfect sense.
And two, not to cut you off, that turns your grieving and wanting to do something. That's what the sister displayed. That's what brings together. You turn that grieving in that love is an action in doing something.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we going to do as a people. This is just a start on here because I'm inviting more and more males and women on board so they can share their trauma on what went on so we can all heal as a unit.
Now talk to me about, we had talked about this, healing the community of self. Did you introduce that to me, the healing of self, the community of self? Brother Derek.
Yes, the community of self is self-healing first before you can reach out and try to share with anyone else. You have to heal self, and you have to have the right tools. Like, for instance, I gave you a starting point on where your grieving coming from through Isaiah 29. Who is doing this to us? Why are they doing this to us? So you will have a different approach on raising the children that's there. Your vision will change. Your movement will change. That's where Proverbs come in. You raise your child so he won't stray away. They'll be aware of what's going on around them. That's why the brother Malcolm X said, get a book. I don't mean a magazine. Get a book to know what's going on the land and around the world. So that right there is, it may not sound like it's not part of our healing, but it definitely is. Because when you don't know, you won't grow.
Okay, that makes perfect sense. And
it,
also, even
and
though
it makes
children,
you more a protector.
Uh-huh. Even though our children, many of our children are passing away innocent and even just caught in the middle of something else and have no idea what they are getting, they are children, good children, but just got caught up in a, you know, just in a drive by, like you said, your cousin. And your line
This is the thing, when I say they hid the understanding, this is understanding for you. It's no such thing. My brother got murdered at 21, but he just made 21 He made 14. He made 21. Got murdered May 26. So, what through my lessons that goes so deep than what the Bible is actually telling you, but one got to really study things outside to go back to the Bible to get the parable what Yeshua has been speaking in other parts of it. Anyway, when you decide to come through your mother's womb here, you made a choice to do that, to come in the flesh. This is a university. Some beings come here to save their family. Why you think I'm telling you these people strategically set this up? Because I told you, Isaiah 29 said the prophets and the saints, we ain't who you think we are. That's why I'm sitting here very passionate about my people. When I told the sister that was genuine love that I gave to her. I know who we are. I know who she is.
Absolutely.
She is closest to source that I can get in this flesh. That's falsehood. That what's inside of you is the truth of who you are. And I know that because she is unchangeable. She is immortal. No one can change that sister's decent nature. They tried to. You from Africa. No, we from here. Because ICE never came and messed with us. They only messed with the Cubans, the Haitians, and the Hispanics. They never mess with the so-called black people. Let that light click on. You can't be from Africa. That being said, when you don't know what's being done to you, you won't understand what's being taken away from you. You got to understand that.
Repeat that. Repeat
when you don't know what's being done to you, when you don't know what's being done to you, you don't know what's being taken from you.
Okay. Okay. That's a good thing.
The sister was unaware that the system is set up to destroy us completely. If known, we'll get away from that word parent, and we'll get back to what we once knew as a guardian. Because the pubic, when a woman was endowed with perfect sight, pubic, in the woman's eye, the definition to pubic is ward or orphan.
Mm-hmm.
The definition to the iris that surrounds the pubic is guardian of the ward and the orphan. So when one come to consciousness, vision change. That's why Jesus said when you discover the truth, you'll be troubled. My vision is different now. I know my sister's worth. I know my brother's worth. Now those words kick in. I'm my brother and my sister's keeper. When my sister's in trouble, don't forsake her not. When my brother's in adversity, assist him. So the system has taught that, too, like I said, this is part of the healing, understanding. When the book say the brother find a helpmate, that's why I said the sisters need to involve the brothers in their lives. The healing will be a lot more understanding what's going on. Mm-hmm. So when the book say to the man found a woman as a helpmate, a brother can't find a helpmate. The sister's in need of help.
Mm-hmm.
So finding the helpmate, that takes you back to Proverbs 31. She's no longer that virtuous woman. She only pretending to be that. Why? Because she's pretending to be a black woman when someone came and changed your narrative of who you are. And that's what I came in, you dealing with an identity crisis of who you are. So this is speaking of the trauma that the sister is dealing with when she give birth. She giving birth to those children that's sharing that trauma. That goes back to Isaiah 29. I would kill off the understanding.
Wow.
I would do a marvelous work and a wonder amongst these people.
Wow.
They did that to you. You in the chessboard. You got to find out who did this to you. We banging on the Caucasians when the Caucasians had nothing to do with this. They in it too. It's called every ethnic group that choose to come here is collateral damage to what happened to you, sister. Everything is about you here. Don't you know 200 head of women and children was thrown over Niagara Falls? That's why it's called Niagara Falls, Negro Falls. Everything was about you, the sister. You was held high here. Other nations, you wasn't held high. Here you was. I know who you are. I asked my mom why she brought me here. I told her that's a rhetorical question. I know why I chose to come here. I come here to help my people. My people have been straightly misled. And the sisters are suffering from their children being slaughtered out here because they don't know why it's being done and how. Seeing the pain on my mom and my brother's mom's face, that triggered something in me. I wanted to find out what's going on, and more happening around me. Friends getting shot in the face. I'm going around the corner to the store, falling on one of my friends that was real close to me, falling on him, laying on the ground with a bullet hole between his eyes. Fell on top of him. It was so dark, I didn't even see him on the ground.
Wow.
I didn't see that. What mothers grieve on, I saw it. I saw him when I fell on top of him and looked at him eye to eye. I saw how his mom broke down. I faced this, what sisters talk about. I faced this. I wasn't part of no gang or nothing, just going along by my business and faced this. I challenged drug dealers to help the homeless during the holidays. They thought I was a drug dealer. I had regular money, had a good job. I just know how to brain bang and get the best out of a person.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is... I'm in awe. I just want to chime in. Yolanda, you want to chime back in, sis? What are your thoughts? I know it's a lot. Yolanda, are you there? This is what?
I'm still here.
What are your thoughts?
I'm still here.
I said, what are your thoughts? So that he's speaking on, the conditions and the things that's really happening because of these problems.
I can't hear you.
Okay, let me
see. I can hear you.
You can hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, I said, what are your thoughts on the things that Derek is saying, like the part of the problem, which is the institution, the system, it's causing us to be divided and these things that happen to us as mothers. What are your thoughts about that?
I mean, it's educational, a lot of things that he's saying that I didn't, know. And then a lot of things he's saying, you could think about it and kind of put it together and see how things are and things have been. So you can kind of, see where he's coming from.
Yeah, I can definitely relate. I'm sitting here thinking like, okay.
Hey, check this out. Mike Brown, Sandra Bland, their mothers got paid off. The system paid them off. You don't hear nothing else about them.
If they were
so serious about it, they would have joined the Black Lives Matter. The Black Lives Matter was set up by sisters who hate brothers. These sisters got rich off ignorant people and built mansions.
Why the city of Chicago can't be sued? As far as for all these mothers that have lost kids, and it's like that nobody's looking or nobody's giving you information. Nobody know nothing. Nobody's trying to find out what happened to our kids. It's just like
Chicago has royal blood. Chicago going to be set off by Jeff Ford. Jeff Ford coming back. The Peastone Moors finna set everything off because he was put in prison on falsehood because he is a reincarnated chief. Larry Hoover is a reincarnated chief, and Tookie Williams. Tookie Williams is a chief over the disabled, over the land. The handicap symbol is him, the Crip Walk.
Okay,
why do you
stop,
think it's blue
down.
And white?
Okay, slow down,
I'm telling you, I'm giving, when I told you Isaiah 29, I would kill, I just read that, kill off the cheats, kill off the understanding, and hide the men of prudence. That's what happened to the sister, because they put pale skin faces in front of the laws, because the red laws represent the woman and the blue laws represent the land.
Well,
the blood and the land. And the sisters, why you think brothers take oaths not to give you this knowledge of the mother, son, may son?
Wow, stop. I thought we in kindergarten. Go slow. Go very, very slow. I'm familiar.
No. This is something you've seen and heard about. I'm just saying things that your mind heard about. Like the sister says, some of the things she can put together, I'm keeping it in the bounds of understanding for your level of understanding. She get it.
I'm choking.
But the thing is, this is a lot to take in, but you're gonna be forced to know this, because the military is gonna shut down the planet simultaneously.
Ooh.
All these countries are in one accord, and it's gonna happen between this month and next month. They're gonna shut down the planet, and they're gonna show you. Some of the things I've been telling you, they're going to show you on a great deal that I can tell you, but it ain't a time and a place to go in on that. They're going to show you, since the women decide to be parents and not guardians, they're going to show you how you've been allowing your children being taken and how you've been allowing your children being fed back to you. And it's going to show you as well, since you wanted to be black, they're going to show you how they fed your children back to you. Because it ain't just about the children being murdered in a way of being shot. The children are being kidnapped and eaten and blood being drawn from their body. You know how many women I know that I talk to, that children being kidnapped and using sex rings, blood being drawn from their body, child being sent to a meat grinder and grind up. These women will never see their children. You don't know what goes on. It ain't just shooting or just running up shooting your son or drive-by. It's bigger than that. Human trafficking is huge in the so-called black community. A brother that weighs 125 pounds. No, let me rephrase that. 7 grams of emelinated child's blood. That's 120 pounds. Just the blood is 28 million.
What?
28 million. Just 7 grams of melanated blood is $28 million. Why you think a lot of our children coming up missing? 2018, the abortion clinic murdered 90,000 melanated babies. The sisters have no clue what this Candid Owens is his own point. I don't care. She married a Caucasian guy. She ain't a sister, but she got a point when she talking about that.
Wow.
The women don't know when you go in there doing an abortion, they hold your baby out and they keep the baby head in and they put a slit behind the baby head and stick a tube in there and suck the brains out the baby head.
Oh, my God.
The baby be alive, too. You know that, right? The baby be alive. So that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. And just about the shooting, the babies died right there, what I just told you, too. I'm giving you different views on, like Malcolm X said, get a book to know what's going on the land. So sisters are grieving in different manners.
Wait,
not just
in
that point. That's why I say bring the brothers together, because a lot of brothers know about this and the murders as well. With the gun.
This just took me, wait a minute, Dad, you took me from healing to trauma. I am like, wait a minute, this is a lie.
No, you going in the healing because I'm letting you know, like Jesus said, when you discover the truth, you will be troubled. I was focused on the gun violence because that's all they talk about on TV. Yeah, we got to stop the gun violence. But this is going on as well. You got a bigger
You got a, just as big as sisters going through with children being murdered, you got a bigger thing with children being kidnapped. Like the little dude I grew up with, they found him in the river with no organs.
Whoa, we got a few minutes. This is just really a lot to take in. This is just too, Derek, I am just like over, I understand, but
are you okay?
Oh, I'm having technical difficulties.
Oh, no, it's understandable. That's going on everywhere.
Let me see.
It's happening here in Houston as well. It's happening here in Houston as well.
Please try again later.
Okay, I'm back. I'm back. I can hear you great now.
Yeah, it's happening everywhere, not just with you. It's happening everywhere.
Now,
let me finish with the Chicago thing, what you were saying.
Yeah, go ahead.
Lady. It's nothing like fences. Just check this. Look at the rappers. Look how they're using the rappers in Chicago. And a lot of those things will help answer your question because it's strategically set up for that to happen in Chicago. And that's why I said, look at the mayor that you have. You got to take control. These people not going to do anything for you. The women got to come together in their own communities and bring the brothers involved so they can solve this issue. Because in Louisiana, when you had issues at schools, you had fathers. All the fathers showed up that was fathers of these children. They showed up to the school every day to make sure it wasn't no violence. So, and that was a healing because the school changed. I'm going to give you a story. They got a brother.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to show you strategically happening and the healing coming in that and what can change and what we are all talking about. They got a brother in Oklahoma named Mothershed Bay, but they would call him Mothershed. This brother moved up there in the community, and the community he moved to was a high-violence community. Children joining gangs. Murders was at a high rate. This brother changed the entire community, built a youth center where the children can come there after school and during the summer. You talking about a whole crime rate dropped.
Uh-huh.
The parents was interviewed the parents. They loved him. He was a god in that. It was like a small city. He was a god there. And his son goes home. Him, wife, daughter, like somebody slaughtered them in the house, murdered this brother. This brother changed the entire neighborhood. The violence was gone.
The solution is
you got to know who your enemy is in order to get over your grieving, because the Most High telling you that the Most High is grieving over your loss, because the Most High is love.
The Most High is
not
hate. Let me ask you this, Derek. This is a little bit off the topic. You said earlier that we think the pale skin people or whatever is the enemy, but they're not. It's some people that look like us, that's masking the raid as us, but they're truly our enemies. Now, could you please hit on that a little bit and help me understand that a little bit more?
They are the conquistadors. Yes. They are the conquistadors.
What are these conquistadors?
The conquistadors came from Spain. They mostly from Africa as well. So, to give you quick history, to give you history on some of you probably heard before. Okay, the real reason why King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella kicked the Moors out of Spain is because they were eating the children. Where you think that adrenochrome started from? Them. You can Google this.
I knew that.
You can Google this.
I read about the adrenochrome.
Okay.
I want to know who are these people that look like us that's masking around. You say that's masking around.
I'm giving it to you quickly. Yes.
Okay.
How they became the conquistadors, why I'm giving it to you. But quickly,
okay.
When you Google Moore statue eating children, it's a statue they created with a dark-skinned man with a fez on with his mouth open with a child going down his mouth. So
okay.
When they found that out, they kicked them out of Spain. And then they went and colonized Africa, West Africa, and it became Fez and Morocco. And
okay.
They knew we existed here. They used Columbus to go tell them that they discovered a new land. And they gave them gold and stuff to come here because a guy named Peter del Negro, who was a conquistador, who in English was Peter the Black, was the navigator to come here. So when they got here, all other tribes in this region of this continent went down to Florida to fight. All the tribes from Washington State all the way down, from California all, went to Florida to fight these conquistadors. And that war, and it's still called it today, is the Gullah Geechee War that the Europeans covered up, calling it the Seminole Wars.
The Seminole Wars, okay.
The conquistadors came and fought against the Gullah Geechee. We was the Gullah Geechee that fought against them in Florida. Florida was a stronghold of the last war. We are still at war today because we lost to the conquistadors. The conquistador is called Conquer Tudor. And Tudor is the Tudor family of Italy right now. They're a rich royal family. And those are called the Jacobins, that the so-called Hebrew Israelites not aware that we are not the Jacobins, we Esauans, because the Jacobins came here and stole our birthright. Just told you right there in the Bible, the Jacob and Esau story.
Wow.
They stole our inheritance and stripped us of our nationality in Philadelphia and the downtown in Philadelphia in 1774 and labeled us black people.
I got to say,
and
this,
black
I
is a dead status.
You. What kind of status is black?
Black is a dead status in law. I just gave you definitions earlier in the conversation when I was saying brothers and sisters getting killed with their hands up with no weapon in hand. Wow, you got a weapon. Brothers getting shot with his baby in the back seat, getting shot up and stuff. Mm-hmm. His little boy got shot in the arm. Cop just shot him. He didn't even have a gun in the car at all. So it's a contract out on us. And our people can go to law libraries in the local cities or maybe towns and see the Third Amendment. It had 20 sections, but you go to a regular library or to a gas station, you'll get it with only 3 sections. But it's 20. But the 12th section say, African descent cannot be a U.S. citizen. So they got you faking the funk. When you go get a job and say you can show proof that you're a U.S. citizen, they got you pretending to be a citizen when you're not a citizen. That's why they're not using the original Constitution. They're using the fraud Constitution, which is the one that the Pope created in 1871 to put you enslaved and change your identity of who you are. They did this in the 60s, white water fountain, colored water fountain. They don't have to do that today because the people took it and ran with it.
But what you just said is not the pale skin is the enemy. So all that knowledge.
The pale skin is not your enemy. The ones who is in politics is your enemy.
Okay.
That's your enemy. The pale skin. The lowercase is not your enemy. The lowercase being dumbed down just like you because of the black people is them. The ones you've been calling white people is actually black people.
With all this being said, and I mean, we've been on here for like an hour. The sister just dropped off. So it was just me and you on here. With all that being said, how do we recover from this?
I mean, how do, and everybody's not going to wake up. Everybody's not going to go seek knowledge.
No, no.
Everybody's
you,
not going to indulge into a deep self.
By sitting here like you and I do, talking about it, giving you a starting point on who doing this so it'll change your course, your path on who is who. And check this. They've been telling you, check this out in Superman. When Lex Luthor said, what if the devil came from above instead of below? The devil is, let me break this down. Like I told you, the devil, them same Jacobins, them conquistadors are children to Yahweh.
Mm-hmm.
They came from a mirror dimension as horde lizards. When we killed them, they came back looking like you and I. We didn't know that because we was ignorant to that time and space. So
okay.
Now they hid their identity for centuries by using the pale-skinned people. And like Eddie Murphy showed you in the movie, Trading Places, here go Isaiah 29. I know your world been turned backwards. The people you call white is actually black people. You call your people black. You call yourself a black. You call yourself a black lady when actually the black lady is the blonde lady with the blue eyes. You the white lady. You don't know it. Because white symbolized purity, not a skin tone. You was created out of purity. Mm. You was told that in Jeremiah 12. I established wisdom for you. I even stretched forth the days for you. How many days in a year? 7. How do I know that? Because it's 52 days in a year. 52 weeks in a year, 5 + 2 = 7. And that's you, the Logos. Mm. You are the Logos.
That's some very deep knowledge.
And grieving is a sin because you grieve out of lack of understanding. Yes, because check this out. That puts you in the definition of hypocrisy. It starts off the sin, comma. It's making you think. Put a comma there. It pauses you. When you read the definition, it speaks to you. And to finish it, the sin to pretend for virtue of good. Oh, I'm black. You lying. Your virtues are backwards. Why you think this pain is happening to you? What it said in Isaiah 29, you took up Isaiah 12. It told you, you took up the iniquities of your forefathers. That's why I hearken you. And then iniquity means bad behavior. Bad behavior comes from bad thinking. So our children, the blood of the saints and the prophet will continue to happen until our people wake up to understand that you need to find out politically and spiritually who you are. It's spiritually first, because it's going to show you politically when you know spiritually who you are. Because more is it was you got to know who you are spiritually to know who you are politically. Because you look at the word public, the word public is actually pubic, and pubic is a child. So they look at the public. Check this out. The reason why I say you are undermined, because look at when you look at the news anchormen say, yeah, the minority neighborhood. Minority is a longer version of multitude of children, of minors.
Mm-hmm.
So you're old as you are, to them, you're a minor. Mm-hmm. You're a child. So what you not knowing and you telling me that's deep and a lot to process because they didn't tell you this because you are looked upon as a child. You on a need-to-know basis. That's how you conduct a child. So you as a grown woman, as you look at it, the system has conducted you as a child. You on a need-to-know basis. That's why you didn't know this. That's why it was so deep and so hard to take, so much to take in. Because they put you in a child state. When you talk to a child like this, that child look at you in a confused state. There's a lot you told that child, too young to get it. That's the part.
Was that an insult? Oh, my God. I'm proud of what I'm really proud because I do know a little bit of this stuff, not a lot, but I haven't gone in depth like that.
So
go ahead. No, I want to acknowledge this person. 636-747. I see you online. May I ask your name? Do you want to say anything? Your mic is unmuted. 636-747. Are you there? Would you like to share your thoughts about this conversation? I guess they just want to listen. If you want to say something, just say your mic is open. But Brother Derek, go ahead, keep going. Tell me what, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. I apologize.
Yes,
but I do want you to continue to
check this. The conquistadors, the reason why people, all of this murders happen. We see all the protesting, big turnouts on protesting. We've seen all the trash talking, all the profanity being used, all of the turn-ups and pull-ups and all this going on. Nothing changed. So the more Zionist Jews, who are the conquistadors, they was holding the knowledge under the table on us. And that's what Isaiah 29 was telling you, that I would do a marvelous work and wonder amongst these people. They were holding the knowledge under the table against you, keeping you ignorant to the fact, to control you and rule you and shuffle you around like a deck of cards. So when someone like me come into play and talk like this, oh, he crazy. Oh, he did this and he did that. Oh, he sold drugs and he killed this person. He was a murderer. All that shit will come into play. That's when you hear the prophets and the blood of the saints on the blood is on the land. Your own people will kill y'all. This would take you back looking at the movie of Passion of Christ, how all the people, oh, yeah, and then after a while they saw, damn, we done fucked up. Excuse my language. But there we go. So the more Zionist Jews, which is
Go back to the part you said. Not the conquistadors, but the blood on the land. When you get shuffled around like a deck of cards, and you trick them believe you're something that you're not. That part about the blood of the land.
Yes, you've been shuffled around like a deck of cards because you're not black. You've been trained to think you're black. Call it water fountain, white water fountain. They was trained to think they was white when they pale and pink. They turn red when they get hot. So when you go to a towel dispenser, when it's black, the light in the bathroom gives a white glare. So when you go to the definition of black, it says to burn, to shine, to pale. I just gave you a demonstration of that definition through looking at colors when you walk to a towel dispenser that's black with the light shining, giving you a white glare. A pale glare in there to burn, to shine, to pale.
Are you saying the solution also is not only in knowledge, but in the words that we speak, knowing definition?
Thank you. When the language changed, the people would change because our people are unaware. You speak in an equivocal language because I can tell you in closing note, have a nice night, a nice and pleasant night, and I just disrespect you because nice means stupid, foolish, ignorant, needy, and unaware.
Okay.
So when you see one hour, right, hold on. When you see one hour children being high-tempered in the community, oh, he's a badass, you just call him a faggot. Because it means an infuriated man, hermaphrodite.
So what are these words called? How do we look up these words? How do we get the true definition of these words? We've been told it, you know, with the definitions. Definition book.
You can look it up in Google, but Google give it to you as the fifth definition. So when someone read the first and second one, they care less to read the fifth one. Mm-hmm. So you would go to Google and type in etymology dictionary or get an etymology dictionary book, and it would expose the words that people speak every day and how they persecute themselves. That's why you got a constitution that's called Fifth Amendment. Don't say nothing to cause what to yourself? Thank you. That's why mama say be careful what you say.
I got you. Okay. That's good knowledge.
You don't know the world that you live in. You just waking up. Just like OJ's, no, Levert them said, live in just enough in the city with no knowledge, just waiting to perish. That's why Karis 1 told you just what Proverbs 31:8 said,
Speak for thy dumb who are self-appointed to destruction. Charis 1 come out saying, you headed for self-destruction. Our people don't listen. It's a difference between listening and hearing. People, oh, I never heard of it. That's deep. No, you've heard it before. You just don't remember. It takes someone to click that filing cabinet open. We all witness this. We just don't remember. That's why I was giving you childhood things. These lessons will open dormant doors that you thought was closed. Wake you up.
So
this entire system is set up. This entire system is set up to destroy us, sister. And we have to wake up. Everybody have their own time to wake up, but time is running out. They done tricked the people into getting vaccinated. They not knowing that they're living in a society that's conducted as animal husbandry. What is animal husbandry? Animal husbandry is as the government look at society as animals, not humans.
Mm-hmm.
So
let
they send you
this.
To
show.
They
send you. Huh? What's going to take place within the next 2 months? Thing that's going to happen.
What's going to take place in the next 2 months?
Yeah.
We finna go into a new
system.
Yeah, we finna go into a new system. No. We going into a new, we going in, no digital currency. We getting currency that's touching hand. It's called a rainbow currency. But we getting our stuff back because the Constitution of 1776, I'm telling you that it ain't the 17 is the letter Q, is the 17th letter in the alphabet. 13 is in coalition, 76 is in the coalition with the number 13. So it's the rise of 13 in the Aquarian age. And the Aquarian age is 7.
Okay.
You are the Logos. I told you, you are going to be back on your throne in your land. All of this about you. It's the rise of the 13. In the matriarchy system, in the patriarchy system, the 13 is unlucky. In the matriarchy system, the 13 is what it is. Because look at nature. Matriarchy runs nature, not patriarchy.
Matriarchy.
Even the Schumann resonance is going into the Schumann tefillin, which is a feminine energy. The energy on the planet is changing. People having odd symptoms with illnesses. It's the frequency on the land changing that's causing it. They don't know it because, once again, Isaiah 29, the science of prudence is hidden. And I'm telling
you, know what we got.
These people are hiding. Everything is about you, sis.
We got 12 minutes left. Like, tell me about Enki and Enlil in these last few minutes.
Enki is the one who gave us his blood. He gave blood to a people over there in Africa. His sister gave blood to us here. His sister is who we call Big Mama. And Big Mama is sitting on a throne. They got an image of her sitting on a throne, a golden throne. She's a whole golden woman with her son sitting in her lap.
Okay. That's what we see.
Enlil is not. He's not up earth. Enlil is not up earth.
He's not up her.
No, he's not up earth.
He's the one masquerading as
Yahweh. Yahweh is a title. It's not a person. It's a title that a supreme being gets. A higher ranking being. He's 50 rank. He's 50 rank over his brother Enki. Enki is 40 rank. So his ranking is higher. So Enki is Poseidon, who you call Aquaman. And he and Zeus is Enlil.
Zeus is Enlil.
Yeah, Zeus is Enlil. Zeus is out to kill the humans.
Okay.
He's
okay,
out to kill us.
Okay.
Enlil got
Enlil,
children
Enlil,
here.
Anytime you see a child with a unibrow, like with a thick brow like that rapper Webby and that basketball player Anthony Davis with a unibrow, Anthony Davis look identical. He look identical to Enlil.
Okay. Now, let me ask you, oh, my God, since we brought here, I've got a few seconds. Now, I have been noticing, and I don't know, people think I'm crazy, but I have been noticing the different features that we have. Some people have certain features that it doesn't matter who you, if they're not in your family, but you just got the same feature. Sometimes they need a mouth. It's like a certain feature. Are those the ones that belong to this entity you're talking about that's not up earth?
It can, it's the hairline because the Vulcans look like us. The Vulcans look like us with a willow's peak.
With a willow's peak.
A willow
okay.
peak is a pointed is a pointed hairline.
A pointed toe nose. Oh, a pointed
like
hairline.
Like Dracula, got a pointed hairline. That's a willow's peak.
Pointed nose.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
They don't
so
have. They don't have
so
to have a pointed nose. They don't have to have a pointed nose. They just have a willow's peak. They're not of us.
Mm-hmm.
They just look like us.
So they. So the spiritual eyes that I have seen, I have been seeing through the lens, the spiritual lens I have been seeing through lately, that I've been noticing, is like it's some people with wide faces. You got these people with these pointed like things, like you just said, what did you call these people? The Dracula looking people, you know, like got the face is all, and I mean it's just a different face that you like. Okay, this person looks different. Not anything, you know, about their parents, but this look like the same features somebody else have. And they have different parents with the same features.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't look at this thing a whole lot different. Like, okay, what is on the earth? I know certain people are supposed to be on the earth, but then something is like, wait a minute, they're not supposed to be here. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, you have other extraterrestrials that's amongst us as well, not just ones that look like us. Because we from not a solar system, from a soul system, the soul system, the higher ranking beings that's in the solar system is soul brothers and sisters. They came here when they tell you about a cigar, ship, that cigar ship landed on the Air Force base. And they, when that ship landed, they gave up a 3.5 earthquake.
Okay.
And you had brothers coming out of there in leather suits with locks. They was at least 6'4 to 6'5 feet tall. 200 of them surrounded that ship. They came and talked to that guy and told him they from a warrior race. That's our brothers and sisters.
Race.
We live in the hologram. Your life don't even exist. What you experiencing is not even real. It's a program. You finna find all that out. Your experience, your trauma that you're going through with a lost loved one, that's a program.
Let me ask you this. On that note, dude, whatever this thing is supposed to happen in about 2 months, which I'm really into this conversation because I understand or overstand, however you want to put it, the terminology and the language you're speaking, what is going to take place if we get our proper place back in this, whatever, what do you call it, realm?
The title of nobility finna kick in. That's why I told you we not from Africa, we from here. So the title of nobility finna kick in.
Let me ask you this, Derek, and I'm very honest. These bills that we are paying, what is this stuff going to?
When I said the title of nobility kicking in, you finna get all of that back because. Your land has been taken. Your inheritance has been taken. Your nationality has been stripped from you. Everybody that's been coming over here has been living off your hard work. And not just your hard work. They've been taking federal. Federal is fake and fraud.
Mm-hmm.
That's not real.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. Yeah, the Fed is fraud. The Fed is not real. And the people don't even know the Fed is fraud. So what I'm saying is what's keeping you in poverty is they taking federal and out your check. And that's impoverishing you. Because if you making little hours after Fed take out, you got nothing. So you got to get a second job. That's fraud. You don't supposed to tax a man. Why you think Jesus came and turned over the tax table? This is not a game, yo. Noble Drew Ali said your problem is you being taxed too hard.
But didn't know Noble Drew Ali, and I don't know the language you're speaking. I just know a little, you know, the things that I pulled out, they're kind of like, what are you talking about? Did he say there's going to be a time when money is going to be obsolete? Nobody's going to care about money. Going to be like,
Well, he's saying that the version of money you looking at is going to be obsolete. Because we going into what you call the rainbow currency that's going to be backed by quantum physics. You
backed
can't use
quantum.
That money. Quantum going to be the cell phone you got, you're not going to have it anymore. You're going to get a quantum phone that's called a Q phone. That phone is going to have all your information on that. Just like the movie in Project Adam on Netflix. He couldn't get in that ship because he lost too much blood, and the only way he can get in that ship is by using his DNA. So what he did, he went back in time and found himself at 12 years old and used his 12-year-old DNA to get himself back on the ship. So your quantum phone going to be connected to your DNA. No one can use or hack into your account or anything you got going on. And they already making quantum computers and laptops along with the cell phones. They doing all of that.
Well,
yep, they started this in 2020. They knew the pandemic was fake. Huh?
I get that. I understand that. Let me just say this, and let me just get your opinion. Well, we thinking this doomsday is really going to be payday. Am I right?
Yeah, it's going to be, see, the thing is, the world as you know it, that's why I said what you experienced in trauma was a program.
Mm-hmm.
That's when the Bible said that it's going to be the end of your world, but before your world end, everybody going to come to who knowing who they are. So you're going to know off the rip that you've been spiritually put under a conjure spell by you, them, the conquistadors, using voodoo. They use voodoo to put you under a conjure spell to think you black, huh?
So this Cabal
go ahead.
My girlfriend said with us, that blanket. No, I'm saying I got it right here. I'm sitting here with next to my Cabalion. My girlfriend said, "Run, get that outside back studying it." So this is the Cabalion is what we need to be, you know, really looking at to really practice these principles of the seven. What is the Hermetic laws?
Yeah, the seven Hermetic laws. The seven harmonic.
Yeah,
hold on, for a second. You can, this is what I've done. I matched up the seven harmonic principles with the seven prime numbers. And like I said, it's all about you. I'm going to read it out to you because I do this. I'm a psychologist / teacher. I teach these things. But the first harmonic principle is mentalism. And
right, that's what
mentalism deals with an articulate taste. What is an articulate taste? Your articulate taste, it helps you to correspond something to put it together.
Okay.
When you correspond to put something together.
Derek. Our show is going to end in 90 seconds. Can I give you a call back? I'm going to end this show.
Sure.
This is about to end. I'm going to call you back. We're going to get cut off like cold turkey. I'm going to call you back on my other. Oh, yeah, on this phone. I'm going to call you back on my phone, on my personal phone.
All
okay.
Right.
So I'm going to go ahead and end this out and shut this down. And I'm telling everybody, thank you for hanging out with us tonight. I don't know. I'm talking to the show. Thank you for hanging out with us. We really appreciate you. We got a little bit off course, but I hope that you heard something that you wanted to learn. And look back into it, go study it. And also, you can get in contact with me, Veronica Coney. You can find me at Veronica Coney on Facebook. That's Veronica Coney. And my brother, Derek Porter-Bell, he's also on social media. You can inbox us, look us up. If you want to learn more about what he's talking about, please feel free to reach out. Thank you, guys. Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your evening. Bye-bye.
Hey, what's up?